Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show is brought to you by the LasVegasAdvisor.com, CasinoMeister.com, and ThePog.com. Three great sites for all your casino gaming information needs.
If you're receiving this transmission, then this operation is a success. Dr. Nick and the Hot Aussie Chick are in the house and ready to dissect blackjack, poker, and everything in between. Welcome to
your life. Hello, everyone, and hello, Dr. Nick. Are you in the house?
I am in the house, and we are done. We have a main event winner.
We do, but first of all, are you in a rattling and rolling and rocking house?
I am not. I am at the local coffee house, about 5 minutes away from my house, relaxing on a nice sunny day.
Right, okay. And it's not. There's no earthquakes, clearly.
No earthquakes. I haven't felt one in a while.
The earth did move for... Oh, I thought you were going to announce the main event winner.
Well,
waiting. Well, the earth moved for one man.
Hassan, the German. Well, actually, this morning, on Wednesday morning.
Oh, yes, this morning. So everyone knows, I mean, you all know probably who the World Series of Poker 2019, the 50th World Series of Poker champion is. So just to explain to you why our show's late, it's because we thought we'd better wait. It wasn't done.
Yes, it was not done. We were going to do a show. We started one and we decided, well, let's wait till the series is over. We can recap not only the main event, but also the World Series of Poker in general, because it is pretty much winding down at this point. Most of the events are pretty much either in progress or done.
Yeah. I think they're probably at the... I remember last year walking in and they're like packing up all of the chairs and empty areas where the merchandise used to be.
Correct.
Speaking of which, I didn't get my 50th World Series of Poker shirt.
Well, from what I understand, they did not print up the World Series of Poker merchandise specifically for the 50th. As most people remember, last year... with like the 2018 World Series of Poker, all that merchandise went on sale afterwards for a very, very discounted rate. But what they decided to do this year is to leave the year off of it so they can roll over the merchandise for next year. So a little bit of marketing tactic for that.
Well, there you go. Okay, so the winner, what an incredible heads-up match. What an incredible match prior to heads-up, in fact. The final table was just absolutely amazing.
I think they went for how long? How many hours? Did they go for like 7 or 8 hours heads-up?
Well, it was hours. I didn't count them. I did watch them, though. I watched every hand. I was like, oh, my God, this is it. And, you know... I actually felt so sorry for Super Dario, rather, because all I could think of, well, I was screaming at him, and I think half of the world was probably screaming at him, call, you know.
When did he call? I am hearing a siren.
So we don't have earthquakes this week. We have fires.
Well, apparently the firehouse is right adjacent to where I'm at, so...
That's
problematic.
Can't be good.
Well, it's gone now. So in any event,
we're gonna have a very siren-y show.
Yes. So in any event, they did go heads up for a while. What did he call?
The
final hand.
Well, he had 12 outs, I think.
He was chasing not only a
flush but a straight.
Nine outs, because if he had two in his hand and there was two spades on the board, there's two in his hand.
No, he was calling four. Yeah, but there was a straight draw as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. You have to match.
So,
okay.
You know, it's like, dude, you have a straight draw and a flush draw. Like, call. Like, the chance of double up was, you know, that's kind of brings me back to the whole pocket aces thing. Did I? Did he? Did everyone else that was yelling call make a huge mistake? Don't know. Either way,
yeah,
he's rich.
Exactly. Well, Well, sometimes you have to gamble, and you know, sometimes it works out. Sometimes, but how lucky was Ensign to get pocket kings a couple times at the final table?
How lucky was he to you know, in a few hands, to be honest, to get there? But with that said, absolute skill.
Yes.
However, the master reader has to go to Super Dario.
Yes, there was one hand, and I remember this because I was talking to you about it via text message, when a three came on the river and gave one guy the bottom end straight and the other guy the top end straight. I thought that was going to be it at that point.
But, and of course, the most controversial hand of the whole World Series of Poker was, of course, when they had to call Mr. Jack Effel over. Though the floorman had made their decision, they did call on the big boy to come on over when Nick was not you, Nick, obviously, not Dr. Nick, Dr. Nick wishes, was in a pot against Super Dario, in fact, well before the final table. And it was Queens versus Tens. You saw that too, right?
Correct, I did.
So, guys, girls, watch it. Make sure you're doing the right thing. It doesn't matter what the dealer says.
Right. You have to. It's a game of. They say poker is a game of observation, and it was more relevant than in that particular hand there. And it was
absolutely.
Like 30% more chip call. So yeah, that does impact the person's decision to call.
Oh, absolutely. If I've got pocket tens and there's an all in, I'm wanting to know what their chip stack is and. The difference between 17 million, I think it was, and 22 million, you know, give
something
or take
like that,
a little
yes.
here and there, makes a huge difference in what I am and what I am not going to call. So I stand with the Super Dario. I just love that. The shirts, especially the Mario Brothers shirts, Super Dario. I stand with what he said. I agree with what he said. 100%
yeah, just as a recap for people so they know what happened.
Well, they probably do, but if they don't.
Yes, if they don't. Well, what happened was the one of the players moved all in with pocket ten or pocket queens, and Dario called after the stacks were broken down and the dealer announced 17 million in chips.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the
person
player,
called,
after
Dario flipped over his cards and showed tens.
Mm-hmm.
And Dario was obviously disgusted, but the player with queens, Nick, said, wait a minute, no, that's 21 million, not 17. So that was a call. But Jack Effel did absolutely make the right call in
They are the rules. It is very clear. And,
he made that. Yes.
Right.
There was some additional controversy after the fact with some commentary made by some people.
Yeah, everyone can just go look at the hand.
Yeah.
Go look at the hand, guys and girls.
Yeah, so that was one. That was a – but again, it was a very eventful series. The most – I think the most interesting aspect of the whole World Series of Poker final table was the rails. They were quite vocal yesterday.
Weren't they ever? And how about that pizza in the hands of Germans? A whole German rail. So many people from Germany going, pizza, pizza, to the Italians as they're passing the pizza around.
Yes.
Wow.
didn't the Ensign player, did he own a pizzeria or was that another guy?
Oh, look, I don't know. I can tell you a few crazy little facts, though. I'm pretty sure that Ensign is the oldest person to win the World Series of Poker in a long time. I can't remember, but PokerStars blog did put out a crazy fact. I retweeted. I'm like, I love these crazy facts. And it would have made Dario the first Italian if he had have won, which of course he didn't. And it would have made Ensign the second German.
Second German, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And Rum and Chess went out third.
Oh, and
your favorite.
The first ever World Series of Poker to be won with pocket kings. It's never been won with kings or aces before.
That's hard to believe.
Yes, my favorite was Rum and Chess.
Rum and Chess, yes.
Another interesting
event that happened yesterday was James Holzhauer, who's probably Soundman, who was also the Jeopardy champion, who I guess he's one of the most successful Jeopardy champions of all time, over $2 million in winnings. He's a professional gambler, and he did win, but he also joined the commentary booth last night for a spell on ESPN.
Oh, he did?
Too. He did. Yes, he did. So
I was joining the commentary booth for ESPN.
Maybe
I would
soon.
Have so much fun. Can you maybe imagine soon. Me commentating for ESPN?
Well,
would anyone understand me?
I would think so. Kara Scott did a lot of the commentating yesterday, and she was pretty good.
Oh,
I know
she was at the break, so I'm pretty sure. Oh goodness me! I'm so sorry. I can't think of names right now, but that I don't think she was doing most of the ESPN commentary. That was the mind blank. That was the best.
Well,
I'm so sorry.
She was there. She was
right,
doing some commentating.
She was. And she was the one that came along and said that Dario was in fact not telling his rail to be quieter. He was telling them to be louder.
Oh, really? Well, there was
louder.
There was one where actually Anson kind of told his his crowd,
quiet, I believe.
Yeah,
yes.
Because I mean they were extremely loud, but they had to. He had a very important decision to make, and he had to think about it for a little bit. So he did kind of tell him to settle down. The other day, Helmuth was in the running for a bracelet as well. His 16th,
six.
Yes, he did.
To show poker is a game of skill, clearly.
Skill, and you gotta be lucky too. You can't.
No, you do.
Yes, you can't.
No,
you can't
just make it on skill. You can't.
Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly. It's
absolutely
hard.
Not.
You can get the guys run quick, you know, and they run deep, and that is a skill component as well. Phil Helmuth did finish sixth in the $5,000 no limit hold'em event, and I believe that that paid just under $98,000. So
now I don't have the figures with me, but all in all, I believe by memory that the World Series of Poker was up 52%, something like that.
I
in
remember
entries.
Something like that. Now, I believe a good portion of that has to deal with the very first event that they had. They had something like
28,000
in a single event, which is
that
very
would
good.
Certainly contribute. And do they include the online? You know, matches,
I'm assuming so, because
they are bracelets.
How many bracelets did they have on? They had three or four bracelets this year online?
I think it was four or five. I don't know.
Yes.
As I said,
like
I don't have anything in front of me. Just so everyone knows, I'm doing this iPhone style. So I've got the phone to my ear to reduce the noise in the background of cats. Actually, cats. I have done radio before with cats around, and they actually got in a fight. Facts. Anyhow, to reduce the noise of cats, not my cats. I don't own cats. In any case, I can't read anything. I don't have any of the figures or the facts. Or I think there was $293 million in prize money
total out of all
remember.
Of them. Correct.
Yes, out of all of the events. So, if I'm wrong, sorry everyone, but.
It's in the neighborhood, I'm assuming it's in the neighborhood.
Right. So, also, during the World Series of Poker, was the Poker Hall of Fame.
Yes, they announced it just the other day. There were two inductees this year. I thought for some reason there was only one per year, but apparently there's two or more. I don't know. How do they choose the Poker Hall of Fame? Is it journalists?
Well, I believe
or?
The Poker Hall of Famers are some of the people that do vote. Too bad if they're not there anymore, but I believe that some of those the previous players, the previous inductees vote. And then there is, of course, the journalists who probably vote too. You know, there's probably selected journalists or selected people, you know, one from PokerStars, one from me. You know, I honestly can't be 100% sure because that's not something I've looked at, but that's how the Women in Poker Hall of Fame, that's
it's
how
worked,
they run.
Yes. Right. Well, there was two players that were inducted were Chris Moneymaker, obviously, who everybody knows, considering because he was also named one of the top four most influential players of all time.
Right, for the World Series of Poker, that is. This year, not overall. Yes. Although, yeah. Overall, he'd probably win as well.
Yeah, it's because everybody knows he did do the Moneymaker Effect, which is where he won a satellite into the main event. Now, interestingly
thought, we're just butting in, that wasn't his last name. I thought that they were using that for marketing purposes or something. I'm like, surely this guy
made
the World Series of Poker. Right.
Yes.
Exactly, right?
And he did satellite in via an online event. And I heard a story, and I don't know if this is true or not, which I'm sure there's probably some truth to it, is he actually did not want to play the event. He wanted to sell the money, the seat for cash.
I think that was Jerry Yang.
Was that Jerry Yang?
I think so. Oh. But it could have been Moneymaker too. Who knows what was going through the man's head?
Well, I know he's been a overall, he was a lifetime negative player until that event. But if anybody who remembers that event,
the comments in the boxes below.
Yes, he ran beautifully that entire tournament. I mean, he did a major bluff at the end, but he was just running unbelievably well in that tournament. Couldn't have gone any better.
What about our second one, who I don't even know?
Oh, David Oppenheim, I believe his name is.
Well, I don't know what his name is, and I have written probably 20,000 poker players' names over my lifetime of writing poker players' names. Never written his, but that could well be because he is a cash player.
Yes, he is. He's got a couple million dollars in lifetime earnings as a tournament player. He's in his mid-40s, but the rumor has it that he is one of the biggest cash players around. So not only in Southern Cal, but also in Macau and otherwise. So congratulations both David Oppenheim and Chris Moneymaker. Well-deserved. Moneymaker's been in it for what? I think he became real popular. Was it 2001, 2, or 3 that he made it?
Huge impact. Regardless of what year there was, there were other facts that came through. And they were on ESPN, one of which made me so proud. Jerry Yang, that I just mentioned before, and that's what made me remember this, is the top-ranked player for causing the most destruction on the final table. He knocked 7 of them out.
Jerry Yang did that?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So there was another that was equal with him. But so from forever of the World Series of Poker, 7 people, that's the most that one player has knocked out. He's tied with someone else. I forget who it is, obviously, because I don't know them. Again, something for everyone to look up. So much research and so much knowledge to learn after this show.
Yes. Now, there was one person, there was not a controversial hand that happened this year, but one of the players, was it Livingston, would lay down pocket queens?
Ooh, yes. How pre-flop? About that? How about that lay down? And he did tweet, blah, 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 blah. And now you all enjoy talking about the lay down of the pocket queens, you know, because he's just switching off social media.
And he did. He did actually move up a couple of places after that. I mean, he could have held up, he could have not. But, you know, in retrospect, I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't know if I could do that. But at the end of the day, you can, there's an old saying that says you can't win an event on that hand, but you could definitely lose that event on that hand. So he did took his gut feeling and laid it down. So good for him.
And for all he knows, he could have been up against aces and kings. I mean, you're talking two other all-ins, right?
It's easy for us to make that call because we're sitting here, you know, we can see the cards.
Exactly. Bad beat or yes, correct.
You just never know. Now, he's ahead, but the whole saying, that's poker, could always happen no matter what.
Now, speaking of, you can say what you want because you can see the cards and, you know, so on and so forth. Let me tell you this. I kind of avoided, like everyone can go and tell from my social media accounts, that I avoided social media. I avoided Facebook. I avoided looking at Twitter. You know, I avoided that kind of stuff over the last 10 days. And the reason is because I just get angry.
Why is that?
Well, I get angry because, oh, this person shouldn't have done that. And, oh, my God, how could they lay down those queens? And, you know, why would you do that? And you should have taken the chance. And, you know, this person made that mistake. And all I can think is none of you are in the tournament.
Exactly. Well, poker, especially
there's
the main event.
There's only one person, in fact, this year, one person who can say what a player should or should not have done. Well, you know, not entirely, but, and that is the champion. There's only one winner. Yeah. The rest of them are losers. So technically you're picking on 8,000 or more people when you're saying, oh, you lost because you should have done this, or you should have done that, or you should have done this, or you should have done that.
Well, there was an interview with Livingston after the main, because he finished quite high a couple years ago as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
13th, in fact.
Yes,
so he's
yes.
13th and 3rd.
Yeah, so he's been
numbers
been
coming
there.
Out of my head. Yes. Woohoo.
But the main event is not only just an incredible poker game filled with thousands and thousands of very skilled player, but it's a test of endurance and attrition, because you're talking mm-hmm. 10 days of just 12, 13 hour days of poker.
Do you think you could do it?
I did a couple 12 hour days in a row and I was pretty exhausted after that. I think I would have to do some training to do it, because in the advantage gaming world, and especially in the blackjack world, it's always quick, very quick. And poker is not only a game of reading opponents, but more to the point of mental toughness and mm-hmm. and of patience. You mm-hmm. have to be very patient. You got to pick your spots and you don't want to move all in unless you don't have to. But it is very trying. And maybe we can get back our resident psychologist, Dr. Alan Schoonmaker. He can talk about
that.
This.
Maybe,
yes. But it is a grueling game. Livingston was talking about how, you know, last time he was when he ran really deep, he was only getting like 3 hours of sleep a night. He couldn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could do that.
And he was.
Maybe I used to be able to.
Yes, he was only getting 3 hours of sleep. Now he's getting like seven. He really wasn't eating that much, but now he's been eating. So
I know the Aussie Millions players lose kilograms playing the tournament.
Yeah, this. I mean, here too, the guys. People say they've lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
So you know, it helps to be in good physical
lose
shape.
Lose weight, play poker.
Yes, it helps to be in good physical shape. To play. I mean, a lot of these guys.
I noticed Dario was really giving his back a good old rub at the final table, you know, after hours and hours and hours of sitting there, even in those very comfortable chairs. So, yeah, certainly it gives you, I mean, look how young he is.
Yes. He's what, 30s? I think early 30s.
Well, I mean, as in compared to our winner, which shows, old folk can still do it. That was my
status. He was in still pretty good physical shape as well. I mean, he was in
absolutely.
Slot,
so. Yeah, he had guns.
Yes, and I don't understand this. I don't understand why were players wearing sunglasses at the table? Is that because they had bags under their eyes and they were so tired?
Well, to hide tells from their eyes, of course. But a better question is the suit.
Oh, the suit. The other controversial aspect of the tournament.
Would you wear a suit?
I believe I would not. I mean, they say,
you're a pretty wealthy up there person buying your expensive champagne and your, you know,
Well, the point is this, you gotta be comfortable when you're playing, especially when you're sitting for long hours at a time. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult.
Agree,
so you want to be
agree.
As comfortable as possible. And when you're used to playing poker, or any type of game especially for long periods of time in a certain, you know, comfort zone where you're wearing jeans or shorts or,
mm-hmm.
or t-shirts or, you know, a hoodie or whatever mm-hmm. the case are where you're comfortable. When you change that, you know, sometimes it either has a subconscious effect on you or
it may have a good one, sure.
Yes.
I did once write a blog post called Dress for Success.
Well, they say
Excuse me.
Oh, they say the hardest thing in sports I'm just drawing an analogy here. Poker, I wouldn't really call poker a sport, but it's a game more or less, but a competition, I'd say. But if they say the hardest thing in sports is to hit a round ball with a round bat. However, if you ask a coach of any sporting event, it's where you take something that's been working for you your entire season and you're in the championship game and then you want to change it. That is very difficult when you're changing things that's been working for you and you don't know how they're going to affect the outcome. It could be positive or it could be negative, but you take what you have, what's been working, and you change it. That kind of gives people the heebie-jeebies.
Well, let me tell you, if I was on the final table of the World Series of Poker, I think I would 100% be dolling myself up to the absolute nines.
Well, I suppose it's a different world. I mean, for women, I think there's also pressure on them to be attractive and sexy, and a lot of female poker players now that are being sponsored are all younger, and they're all dialed up, and they get paid extravagant amounts of money, so they can say that way to bring people within the game.
Like I used to.
Yeah, years ago, you were a sponsored pro, correct?
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? I looked beautiful.
Well, you were playing online, so it really wasn't.
Well,
I'm sure
I played live too. I played live in my beautiful sponsorship.
But the majority of your stuff was online, right?
Right. And then the majority of my live play was cash game.
Correct. So
not so much tournament play. So I suppose, but still I tried to look my best, especially for front covers.
Oh, I can see.
Just subtle brag there.
I see. So
okay, so stepping out of the world of poker, because I've actually had enough of it. It was a great summer.
It was, and it was pretty intense all around, and we're looking forward to WSOP 51 next year.
So last week, we talked about the opening of the Encore.
Yeah, in Boston.
In Massachusetts,
in
right?
Boston, yes, in Boston.
Boston is in Massachusetts? I can never say that. Am I
saying it correctly? Massachusetts is a state. Massachusetts is the state. Boston is the city.
It's like people saying Illinois.
It's Illinois.
We know that.
Yes.
We know that.
Or Yosemite.
Sorry, what happened?
When I talk to Australians, they say Yosemite instead of Yosemite.
Right. What happened at that casino? Because let me tell you, we sent a whole bunch of people. They were like, oh, the blackjack tables have fallen. I mean, I know what happened, but just in case someone doesn't, please enlighten them.
Well, there has been two major lawsuits filed against the Encore Casino in Las Vegas, or in Boston, for that matter. And two things occurred. One, the lower level blackjack tables were playing a 6-5 payout. So if you get a natural, which is an ace and a 10 value card, you get paid 6-5. So if you bet $100, you would get $120. Now, in reality, if you blackjack is supposed to play 3-2. So if you get a natural, a blackjack, an ace, and a 10 value card, you're supposed to get paid $150. There is a stipulation within the gaming laws of Massachusetts that says all blackjack needs to be paid 3-2.
Now, that just to make sure that they did hear this right, that's the state of Massachusetts. That doesn't mean it's everywhere else.
Yeah, it's just the state of Massachusetts. So the Gaming Board of Massachusetts made that determination. And because they didn't do that, several players, probably tens of thousands, I'm assuming, are going to are now suing the Encore Casino in Massachusetts. So that's litigation lawsuit one. The second lawsuit is...
Well, yes. Last night, I went up to the local pub with my sister, Rochelle, which many of my fans may remember from the World Series of Poker a few years ago. And we played slot machines. And let me tell you, if this happened to me on the slot machine, I'd be pretty annoyed. Let's continue with this casino's ways.
This is what happened in the slot machines. For anybody who plays slot machine in Las Vegas or anywhere else, when you cash out of a slot machine, they print you out a ticket.
Uh-huh. And I got one last night, which had $165.85.
Okay,
so what would have happened at this casino with my ticket?
At the casino in the Encore in Massachusetts, once you put in your ticket, you would get the $165, but they would keep the 85 cents. So they would round, they would give you the nearest dollar amount lower. So so you wouldn't get so 166.
Right. Yes.
So they would be keeping that money. So if you imagine, you know, a million people going through that casino,
and you're sure they're not going to make it $166, because I'm pretty cool with that.
I'm 100% sure.
Right. Okay.
So what all they right. do is they cheat people out of, you know, that 85 cents.
No, not cool.
Yeah. So, you know, if you go ahead, for every million people that put in, you know, whatever money, and if they cheat them out of
20 cents, that's $20 million.
Actually, that's $200,000, because you're 20%.
People's 20. So, oh, yeah, because I'm just going 1 million times 20. Got it. So right. That's $20 I have to cheat them out of.
Yes.
$20 million. All right, yes.
So they're cheating them out of 20% of their money. So that, again, not very cool.
Cool at all. That 85 cents last night, if they had have taken that from me, I could have potentially lost money. What if I put in and needed an extra push on a poker machine, slot Correct. Machine, as you call them, and I needed that 85 cents?
100%. So those are two things that are not being looked on too favorable.
You know what? I swear to God, some people might think I'm making this up. I should absolutely 100% put a photo of the ticket up so that they know nothing I say is nonsense.
Well, I'm sure you're fine. I'm sure they believe you. But the point of the matter is they were holding on to money that they should have been paying out, and they weren't doing that. So
the reason I say that is that I'm prepared to put the ticket up. I'm pretty sure it was 165 and 85 cents. I'll have to have a look on my phone. I did take a photo. The reason I say it is because I sent people there. You sent people there. We're like, whoa, it's opened up and all the blackjack tables are full and how exciting. I never like to. And you know what? This is why I don't immediately normally send people to new things. Because right. if they don't turn out very well, that's my reputation on the line. And I suppose the same applies to you, you know, sending players to
check it out.
Who would have thought a casino, though?
Well, this is why the gaming industry has a very unsavory reputation, going back to the days of when the mob used to run Las Vegas. And it was always considered a seedy underbelly. But,
or like the 86D. That I've now found out is 8 miles out, 6 feet deep.
Oh, 86? Yes. 8 miles out, 6 feet deep. That's what the term 86 means. When you're 86 from a casino, it stands for 8 miles out, 6 feet deep.
In the olden days, you would have, right, in the olden days, you would have been dead.
I hope not, but that's the general.
No, you would have. Have you ever been 86 deep?
I've been 86, yes. I've been asked numerous times not to play at a variety of casinos.
Right, well, let me show you this. If it was the olden days, would you not be dead? 8 feet or eight feet, 8 miles out and 6 feet deep. You would be. You'd be in the desert in a hole.
Well, it's possible. With
not
the corporation,
me, I'm a good girl.
When the corporations take over Vegas, the highly regulations come in, and they right, don't do that right. anymore. Supposedly,
well,
although
no, not anymore. We're talking the days of the Wild West, the gangster days, rather.
But they do employ unsavory tactics. Including arresting players for no particular reason, which I am currently in major litigation against the Red Rock.
Yes, our listeners know that. Hopefully, it'll all get sorted out for the good.
Oh, it'll be years, but I'm very certain, you know, things will move my way. But we shall see. And then
so,
the event.
What else has been happening in the life of Dr. Nick? I know that we wanted to go off poker, but I believe this week you have coming up a couple of games. You've done very well in the online poker arena thanks to a fabulous coach, none other than me.
Right.
If anyone else out there wants to be coached, so they can also win thousands of dollars, given I can't.
Well, I have I won a couple tournaments.
Can't because I'm banned. Not can't because I'm not capable. Just
well,
saying.
You can, but you just can't do it while in Australia.
Right, I have to go to your country and your state.
Yes, what it is, the last couple of weeks I won two tournaments. I was vying for I was vying for a seat in the $500 online bracelet Mm-hmm. There was like 100 and some odd people in that. It was a satellite event. And they ended up giving away two seats and some cash. And I took third in the in that tournament for not a bad amount of money, maybe $400 and something, I believe, which was just shy of the online bracelet event entry fee. So they had a pretty good entry there. And then the, so, you know, I use those to play some satellites as well. And then with that, I entered a satellite to the 100K, $5 entry fee to the 100K.
Frugal gambling, people. Frugal gambling.
100K Sunday guarantee. And I won an entry into that. So this Sunday, I will be playing for $100,000. And hopefully that will all go well. And we'll see. We'll see if I can do another cash. I've been running pretty good lately. All the tournaments.
You've been running pretty good from the start. Well, how could you not with a coach like me?
Well, I suppose you're absolutely correct. There are some good things you have, and yes, that definitely helps. I've been reading a lot of books lately, as well. And
where did you get them from?
Oh, I know the this Australian girl who handed them out.
Anyone out there that wants to pay me a whole bunch of money for teaching them to win thousands of dollars, be sure to send me a direct message.
A great book is Gus Hansen's book, Every Hand Revealed, which really gets into the mindset of the mad genius himself. Now,
hey, I called him that.
You did call him that in the article. Now, having lunch with our good friend Dr. Schoonmaker, and apparently Mike Caro originally coined that that term so many years ago. They used to call him the mad genius.
I wrote genius, madman, or genius at work, something like that was my front cover article. So
he did some pretty good, you know, he had some pretty good insights there. And I'm going to be reviewing another couple things, the masterclass by Daniel Negreanu I have. So so I'm going to be reviewing that.
You haven't started that, or you have?
I've started a couple of the lessons. There's quite a few. There's like 20 some odd lessons in it. So I've done a couple, and they're pretty good. But I'm gonna wait till the whole thing is complete, and then I'm gonna kind of review it all next week and let everybody know what I think of it.
Bipolar poker. You're going to be playing like a Gus Hansen across a Daniel Negreanu.
Well, different tournaments, and this is just something that I've gathered. Different tournaments require different types of approaches.
Now, certainly with big blind antes in play. That's something that has to come into discussion.
And especially when you have like hyper turbos where you're short stacked. I mean, any ace plays at that point, any suited connectors plays at that point, even two high cards play at that point. I mean, because you just don't have the time to sit around and wait.
Well, look at the big blind ante.
Yeah,
9-2 offsuit plays. It doesn't matter what hand you have. There's so much value in each pot. You've got to call.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the big blind ante for this year's main event towards the end. I mean, there was like $5 or $6 million.
Difference.
Yeah, there were $5 or $6 million in the pot.
Right, $7 million.
Before,
yes.
In chips before you. Before you even do that. So
of course you're calling.
Right. So if we just
do
this.
To make it seven. Yeah.
So if we just say, if we just break it down for a little bit, you had a $60,000 starting stack. And that bought you, you got that for $10,000. So $10,000 divided by 60,000 is about 16 cents a chip. We'll call it 16.67. So 17 cents a chip. 0.17, and you times that by 7 million. So before the pot is even starting, you're looking at $1.19 million in the pot. Before, that's real money.
That can't be right. The winner only gets 10 million. Oh, you mean all up?
Yeah, adding all up, all the chips
up. I see
up.
What you mean. So that's like every prize that is handed out. So from 1,284th place, right through right. All of that cash.
We call
so
that
every cent.
ICE.
Right.
What is that, the independent chip valuation? Is that what that's called?
Something like that. I don't know. So I don't. No one does that. Do they? Does anyone even do that?
Well, I'm just telling you, that's what it is. So again, different tournaments require different approaches. You can be patient. Again, this comes down to your, you know, a 9-way all in, and you're in the big blind and you have pocket aces. Do you put your whole tournament life in the pocket aces?
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of things that to consider. Types of tournaments, who your opponents are, what your opponents are.
I don't care what the mess
are.
Is.
Yep. And, you know,
let's get off poker.
Yes. But
everyone gets innings. Yeah, I've had enough of poker. I want to talk about blackjack. What else is there to talk about when it comes to blackjack?
Oh, let's see. I think.
Or roulette or something, anything other than poker. Although I suppose we do have another 12 months to talk about everything.
Yes.
You know, normal shows, since we've only just kicked back. So our normal shows would incorporate a little strategy when it comes to one of the casino games and, you know, some up-to-date news, like all of the people that have been busted. There's been another bust again.
Oh, yeah, some more illegal gambling. Yeah, more illegal gambling.
Stop playing online poker. Stop playing
online
anything.
Gaming, yes.
If you're in state in a country, what?
I know what I wanted to talk about. This has been all over social media. The social media powers that be are organizing.
That's not poker, is it?
No, not poker. But it has to do with Nevada and a little place called Area 51.
I was just about to say that. Is it the Area 51 raids? Yes. Now, see, the odds of that, these are the things that we ordinarily talk about. Crazy stuff.
Yes, there is actually a...
I wanted to involve Mike Shackelford, the Wizard of Odds, to work out all of the odds for all of the different things.
Well, in any event, they are signing up, all these people, and all these people are planning to go there and charge Area 51 and take over the base. Now, for those who don't, Nellis Air Force Base is there, and I don't believe the regular people will have a chance, because even if they do bring guns, you don't mess with the United States military. They have tanks and they have missiles, airplanes.
Right, which is what I want to do bets against. I mean, people, idiots, morons, have bet on how the world is going to end. Obviously, if the world's going to end, they can't collect their bet. Go and have a look, everyone. I'm telling you, you can bet on how the world is going to end if you're stupid enough. So, how do you think the storming is going to end? Do you think the United States government is going to shoot everyone that tries to do this? These are all of the odds that I want. I want odds. I want bets.
My guess would be, I would be willing to bet on the United States military and not the
FBI. Well, I'd bet on the United States military versus the general population.
100%.
It's so funny, though, isn't it? They're number one, number two, number three. They're doing, you know, like they've got it all planned out. The stupid thing is, though.
Okay, so, well, my guess is this. If you're any type of military strategist, you
do
not lay
strategy.
Out. Yeah, you don't lay out your plans for the the opposing army to see.
That
so
is
they
correct.
Know exactly where they're going. So
they know wave one is going to come from this angle. But, I mean, obviously everyone has to share it online, don't they?
Exactly.
Because they can't see. So wave one, wave two, wave three. It's just hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I love it, though. It's about time the general public got to know what was going on. We should not have secrets kept from us, but I don't think it's going to happen. The secret will remain. And
100%.
Area 51 will continue on, and there's going to be some very sorry people.
Yeah, there's an interesting documentary, or I want to say maybe a mockumentary or just a story of what happened with the man who actually popularized Area 51 by the name of Bob Lazar that just came out recently. He's the one way back in the 80s that went on TV and kind of told everybody what was going on there. So, and consequently, all sorts of things happened to him, you know, to the point of where they couldn't find his birth certificate. They didn't even know he was alive. They didn't even know how his proof he was who he was, which is kind of strange, because I think you actually being in a room with somebody is actually proof that they were actually born. So so for whatever reason, a lot of his stuff disappeared, and life became
very
difficult.
Then again, don't get
for
me
him.
Started on the Mandela effect. But anyway, whatever.
So that was good. That's a good thing. Available on YouTube, I believe. So you can check it out. And there's all sorts of other information on Area 51. But
and
it's
I want some odds. I want people to put their hands up who are betting on the general population.
Well, that would not be
versus the U.S. government.
I will be at home in my pool when this goes down on September 20th.
Maybe watching the news. Why give the date? I am going to storm your base, your Area 51 buildings, on September 20th.
Not only am I going to tell you the date, I'm going to tell you exactly where I'm going to go.
People, you could have done it right. Maybe they have. Maybe there is a secret society of people. Maybe we should bet on that. Anyway, we're not degenerate gamblers, so let's not. Anything else?
I believe that should be it. We had a good wrap-up of the 20. Another thing that I read, Mr. Patrick Antonius, this is one last thing on poker, not that anybody wants to hear it, but Mr. Patrick Antonius lost something like $500,000 playing Omaha high-low and Bobby's room the other day, like $6,000.
Who was he up against?
I have no idea, but when the cards run bad, the cards run bad, apparently.
Well, however, let me tell you, I used to watch him heads up against either Mr. Phil Ivey or Mr. Gus Hansen regularly. Tom Dwan, another one that I regularly watched him up against playing those games. And they used to bleed each other dry. Wow.
Last year, I remember this last year quite vividly because someone texted me. In Bobby's room at the Bellagio, it was the biggest no limit game that this person has ever seen, and it was a $10,000-$20,000 no limit hold'em game with $10,000-$20,000 blinds. Mm-hmm. So you need $6-7 million just to buy into that game. Mm-hmm. But from what I understood, Mr. Patrick Antonius did quite well against those high rollers, which I believe included Tom Dwan. I believe included David Steike, I believe, included Phil
Ivey.
I know
David Steike.
Yeah, he made a good run at a bracelet this year, but again, did not was unable to finish.
The
horse event.
Yeah.
As another friend of ours, Lupe Soto, the recent inductee to the Women's Hall of Fame last year, was actually made a decent
and
run.
Bruno Patera from Australia. Bruno, yes.
Lots of people. Congratulations to our friend of ours, Mr. Gary Benson, who did cash in a few events this year. So well done on him for that.
Well done to all of the people cashing. Let me tell you this, without singling anyone out, without those hundreds and hundreds and thousands of players, there'd be no World Series of Poker. Without losers, there'd be no winners. And to all of those winners, congrats. You've done better than me.
Exactly. So that should wrap up our show for this week. So
until next week, the summer of poker.
Yes. And we're looking forward, like I said, to the 2020 Fabulous 51.
World Series of Poker. Yes. Fabulous 51. What do they call you once you're 50? I know it's like dirty 30s, naughty 40s. What's 50s?
I have no idea.
Maybe my sister knows the answer to this. She's far from 50. She's not even over 30 yet.
Let's see. All right. Well, until next week, we will see you then.
We won't see them, but we'll say aces and faces.
Aces and faces. All of that. So congratulations again to every 2019.
Yes, cheerio.
Winner. Have a good day, everybody. Till next week.
Bye.